Hello, New Crossing Church. Welcome. We are in week, I don't even know what week we are in the pandemic, so we're still doing video shooting, video sermons. So you get me this way today, isn't that fun? We've been going through the book of Luke since the beginning of November, and today we're going to jump into chapter 7. I get to talk about this passage. It's one of my favorites, actually. I've actually preached on this passage before, but I love scripture. And when the Holy Spirit's there, even if you've read it before, it changes. God continues to speak to you as you read scripture, even if you've read it before. So hopefully we can have a little fun today. So as we've been going through this season, we've been looking for how God wants to perhaps change our personal paradigms, to change our thinking from worldly thinking to Christ thinking. And our theme verse for this paradigm series is from Luke 15:31. It says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." How do we really know when someone is really with us? We can know this through their actions, and we can know this through their words toward us. And as we look at this story in Luke 7 today, I'm excited to share with you Jesus' words and his actions as ways for us to know that he's with us too. You've heard me say this before. If Jesus said or did something, we can apply those things to Father in heaven. Jesus came. He was the perfect representation of the Father. What he did, what he said, we can apply to Father in heaven. And we can see how Father feels about us through Jesus as well. So these stories that we've been going through in Luke are not formulaic. You guys have heard me say that before. What I mean by that is that just because Jesus said and did something a certain way does not mean it always is going to be that way with us. But I think we can always look at his heart and know that his heart is the same for us, regardless of how he chooses to do things. He loves us, and he wants us to know that he is with us. So we all have times that we need to know that God is with us, don't we? Maybe we need today to know that God is with us during this COVID pandemic. Maybe you've got loved ones that you can't visit due to the pandemic, and that is burdening and weighing on your heart a little bit today. Maybe you need him as you navigate your budget and maybe even pay your bills. Maybe you need to know that he's with you going into a medical procedure. Maybe you need him to be especially with you when you're trying to homeschool your children and also still trying to work at the same time. Maybe you need to know that he's with you because you're super extroverted and you're dying inside because you cannot be with people right now. So what's the one situation today that you need to know that God is with you? However you need to know that God is with you, there are two ways that you can tangibly know that he is with you. You can look at his words and look at his actions towards you. God is personal, and he speaks to us personally, and he interacts with us personally. As we look at our story today, we're going to see that Jesus used his words and his actions to show this widow who was getting ready to bury her son, that he is with her. Let's pray before we dive into our passage today. God, I just thank you that you are personal and that you know us personally. And I pray that you would just open up our hearts and open up our ears to hear what you're saying to us personally today. And I pray that you do what you need to do, God, for us to know that you're with us. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. So luckily, we are not the first ones in the world to need to know that God is with us. That desire actually began in the Garden of Eden when God created us. He created us to be in communion with him, to be with him every moment of the day, to walk with him, to talk with him, to interact with him. I think it's in our DNA. I think he creates us that way to need that because he wants to be with us. And where the enemy tried to cut that off in our relationship with God, Jesus restores that for us through his work on the cross and through his Holy Spirit at work in our lives every day. So let's look at our passage from today. We're going to look at Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at 6 verses 11 through 17. So I'm just going to read it first. Soon afterwards, Jesus went out to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praise at God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. I always like to look at the setting first when you read these stories. So Jesus was traveling through Nain after he had spent quite a bit of time performing miracles around the area. He had healed demon possession. He had healed sin, and he had healed all kinds of diseases. The disciples were with him at the time, as were other people that were just kind of going along with the crowd to kind of experience what Jesus was doing. I imagine that the disciples and the crowd were really full of excitement and anticipation. They literally got to see God at work in the lives of people. They saw people set free. They saw people healed. I imagine that was pretty exciting for them. Now picture what they walked into in the city in Nain. They walked into death. They walked into darkness and sorrow and immense grief. I imagine walking into that, coming off of what they've been experiencing, was pretty shocking. It was like two opposite worlds colliding. So the first way that we know that God was with this widow is looking at Jesus' words in the situation. In verse 13, it said, "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, 'Don't cry.'" How do you hear Jesus' words here? Do you hear, "Don't cry"? Do you hear frustration? Do you hear anger? Or do you hear the voice, the gentle, loving, gentle voice that says, "Don't cry"? How we read words in Scripture is going to tell us a lot about how we think God views us and how we interact with God. So I just want to encourage you, as you're reading Scripture, to kind of pay attention to that, like, "Ooh, that sounds really mean," or "Ooh, that's really harsh." It might be. It could be also the way that you're hearing it. I hear Jesus' words here, "Don't cry," as really softly spoken and very gentle. It might sound like the words "don't cry" at a funeral are kind of ridiculous to say to somebody. It might sound really harsh. But I think these two simple words show an immense amount of compassion toward the widow. Compassion in a word and tone speaks volumes, doesn't it? Compassion says, "I see you." Compassion says, "I'm here for you." Compassion says, "I see what you're going through, and you're not alone." Being a widow in this time would have been a life change for this person, this woman, and it would have been beyond repair. Women in that day and time, if their husbands have died, sons assumed financial responsibility for them. A widow with no male in her family would have become destitute, probably unable to earn any kind of living, because women weren't educated the same as they were, as men were at that time. Men were often trained in some kind of trade, carpentry, farming, something like that, that would have been able to provide for their family, but women were not. She would have become homeless and hungry and hopeless. Jesus knew what it meant for this woman to lose her only son, and he knew that she was a widow. He simply said, "Don't cry," because he knew he had the power within himself to change her circumstances. Jesus was about to turn her ultimate despair into hope. Christians cry. I cry. Y'all know me. You've seen me probably cry before. It's okay. It's okay to cry. Christians cry because sometimes of pain or loss, but Christians never cry without hope. So this widow knew that God was with her because these two words, spoken in a gentle tone, would bring her hope and bring her comfort. The second thing that Jesus said in this passage comes from verse 14, and he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Jesus simply declared to this young man to get up. He was dead. He spoke these simple eight words, and he rose. And not only did he rise, but he started talking. These eight words spoken by anybody else would not have had the same effect that these eight words from Jesus did. Has Jesus ever spoken something to you? Something directly? Did it make you feel like he was with you? Hearing God speak for me is the most profound and the most amazing thing ever, and I never want to take it for granted. A lot of you guys know that my son had surgery. He had open heart surgery 6 years ago. And there was one day I was driving to work. I was just kind of crabbing to God. I wasn't kind and gentle with my words, but I was crabbing to God on the way to work. And I just felt God say to me, your son, Zach, he needs this surgery to become the man he's going to be. Simple, short, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm done worrying. It was simple, it was direct, and that's what my heart needed. I definitely knew that God was with us after that little drive to work. If you've never heard God speak to you personally, I'd encourage you to just ask him to speak to you in a way that you know it's him speaking. He wants to speak with you. He loves to spend time with you. And he wants you to know that you're hearing his voice. That's the first thing, I think, with, you know, building relationship is talking to one another. So if you haven't, ask and listen. And if you want, have somebody help you figure out how to hear God's voice, because it's the best thing ever. So the second way that this widow knew that God was with her is through his actions toward her. And she experienced that really personally. So in verse 13, we're going to go through that one. It says, "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her." Jesus saw her across the crowded area. Out of all the people in this busy, crowded place, he saw her out of everyone else. His eyes landed on her. And Jesus's compassion toward her moved him to action, moved him to do something. He went up to her. He went up to her son. He saw the situation. He knew that she was a widow, that this was her only son who had died, and he chose to walk right into the middle of it. Did you guys notice that the widow did nothing? She didn't pray. She didn't ask for Jesus to come walking along. She asked nothing of him. It's really unclear if she even knew who Jesus was. For all we know, she could have been there full of grief, and this guy that she doesn't even know randomly walks up. I mean, that's kind of unusual. But she didn't do anything. In verse 14, it continues to say, he went up and touched the bier that were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. The bearers stood still. because this was unheard of. You don't go up and touch a dead body. In Numbers 19, in verses 11 and 12, it says, whoever touches a human corpse would be unclean for 7 days. They must purify themselves with water on the third day and on the seventh day, then they will be clean. But if they do not purify themselves on the third and the seventh day, they will not be clean. And then verse 13, if they fail to purify themselves after touching a human corpse, they defile the Lord's tabernacle. They must be cut off from Israel. Jesus knew this law, of course, and I think the people there knew the law as well. Yet he walked up and touched the bier anyway. Imagine being in the crowd and watching this. This crazy act of compassion. And imagine what that widow would have felt. To know a man that she didn't even know. Saw what she was going through. And wanted her so much to know that she was not alone. And can we talk about how this would have impacted the son? Hello, he was dead, and now he's alive. I'm thinking he's probably loving his life right now. It goes on to say in verse 15, the dead man sat up and he began to talk. Apparently, when Jesus said, young man, get up, the man woke up with full brain function, full body function. There was not a lot wrong with him. He had words. He was able to move. Jesus' words brought him back from death. Yeah. I think he probably knew that God was with him at that time. Who else could have done that? And then it goes on to say in verse 15 that Jesus gave him back to his mother. He gave him back to his mother. He put right what was wrong. He had the power to change her circumstances, and he did it. He does that with all of us, right? Where sin and death could overtake us, he writes what's wrong. And how did the crowd in Nain react to the situation? It says in verse 16, they were filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us. A great prophet was among them. But Jesus was more than that, wasn't he? He was God himself. And I don't think that those in the crowd in Nain at that time fully recognized Jesus for who he was, but they knew there was something pretty radical, pretty special about him. And then they declared that they knew that God has come to help his people. There was something that they knew inside about Jesus doing this work, and they knew that it was God. Jesus' words and actions caused, in verse 17, this news to spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Isn't that just how it happens? When God moves in our lives, when we see him do something pretty awesome, we want to tell others about it, don't we? It's no different today than it was then. So we can know that God was with this widow in Nain and her son. And we know this through Jesus' words and his actions toward them. And we can know that God is with us from his words and his actions toward us. And I think that there may be some of us here today who are feeling discouraged, who may need some extra encouragement today and hope imparted to them. Is it you or is it me? Is it you or is it you? Maybe God wants to speak something specific to you today. Maybe he wants to speak something new. Maybe he wants to remind you of something he's already spoken to you. Maybe God wants us to take a new action in our life so that we know that he's with us. Maybe God wants to remind you of something he's already done for you. Remember the question I asked at the beginning? What was the one situation you need to know that God is with you today? Y'all know me. You know I like to spend some time at the end where we let God speak to us, so we are going to do that. Be prepared. But I just want to give us a little bit of time to let God speak. And we know he is with us through his words. And he speaks to us through a lot of different ways. He speaks to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Bible and as we pray. He can speak to us in dreams, in visions, in our circumstances, and he can even speak to us through others. We can also look for God and his actions toward us. He may take action toward us directly. So I am recording this a little early. I'm scheduled to have eye surgery on Monday, so I had to record this early so it would be ready for you guys because I wouldn't have been healed yet. A lot of you guys prayed for me for the last 2 weeks. I was diagnosed 2 weeks ago, and then they wanted to give it 2 weeks to kind of see if it was going to heal itself. So many of you guys prayed. Thank you so much. So many of you guys reached out and just, sorry about that, asked how it was going. So I just want to say thank you. The action that God is taking toward me is that he wants to heal it through surgery. It's a very direct answer to those prayers. And I'm grateful because there's something good about having to do surgery that I'm not aware of right now, but I trust that it's going to be good. Sometimes he takes actions toward us through the actions of others. I have a friend that had to go and have some medical stuff done out of state a couple years ago. She was really nervous. She didn't have a lot of money. She didn't really have a car that she really trusted to drive out of state. And somebody, one of the people that we knew, who was not really good friends with her, like barely acquaintances, this woman was praying one day and she felt like, I'm supposed to drive with her out of state and I'm supposed to go with her. This woman had a lot of medical background. She had a good car. She sensed that God was asking her to do this, and it wasn't somebody that she would have just randomly decided, oh, I'm going to go help because I can help him. She was following God, and I believe that God wanted my other friend to know that God was with her through this other friend offering to go with her. Sometimes God's going to ask us to go bless others, to use his words, to show his compassion, maybe even do something unexpected for somebody. Sometimes the most effective ministry occurs with a small act of compassion, not in an attempt to solve the pain that they feel, but just simply through the compassion that you show. Compassion says, I see you. I'm here for you. I see what you're going through. And you're not alone. So no matter how God chooses to speak and act towards us, all of it is intended for us to know that he is with us as we go through life. There's a saying that says, actions speak louder than words. That may be true in the world, but the words of Jesus are just as loud as his actions. We just have to listen for him to speak. So let's pray. God, I just thank you that you want to speak. And God, we just take that one area that we need to know that you're with us, and we just lift it up to you. And we ask for you to show us how you want us to know that you're with us. Where in this situation, God, do you want to speak hope? Is there something that you've already spoken to us that you want to remind us about as we look at this situation? Maybe you've even asked us to do something. Maybe we haven't done it yet and you just want to remind us. God, give us the courage to follow you when you ask us to do something. Especially the crazy stuff that might not make sense to us. God, help us to have courage to follow through and act on it. I ask in Jesus' name that you speak in a way that we know it's you and that we know that you're with us. But we release all expectation of how you're going to speak, how you're going to act. God, we We just know that you will because that's who you are. Meet with us so that we know that you're here with us. And we love you. Regardless of how you move and how you speak, we love you. And we trust you. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.